Our scripture reading this evening is found in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56, and we shall read the first 8 verses. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place, and a name better than of the sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, note the word, that gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. So may God bless to us that reading of Holy Scripture. For the past 2 weeks, we have been looking at very practical matters pertaining to the Sabbath. First, our duty and behavior in the public observance. And then last time in things private, within the home and family and amongst all those who know us, the strangers within our gates. We saw that the head of the household was accountable for so ordering the domestic scene that all under his roof and his control are at liberty to hallow the hours of the Sabbath. Whether they do so or not is their responsibility. But as head of the household, or if we're in business, all those who come under our control must be at liberty to hallow the hours of the Sabbath. We dealt also with the liberal approach of many Christians who think that it is sufficient and just sufficient to attend one service on the Lord's Day. Or there are even those who attend the two, but the rest of the day can be used for planning the next week's business, catching up on the news, or perhaps pleasure and recreation. Such is the outlook of very many Christians today. We saw how far removed this is from the mandate of Holy Scripture, and what a shocking example and testimony it is to the stranger within our gates, that is, those who know us. We continue further this evening on much the same line. I want us to look at a verse in Isaiah chapter 58. This is the chapter which will be before us next Sunday, God willing. But I want us to look at verse 13 of Isaiah 58 just now in this connection. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Now here the true spirit of Sabbath observance is set out in plain and simple terms. On this day, we cease from doing our own pleasure, amusement, recreation, pastimes, worldly society, social visitation, feasting, worldly reading. We cease from these things. Speaking our own words, the prophet goes on to say. What does he mean by this? Secular or earthly conversation. Our topics of conversation on the Sabbath should not be earthbound. For such talk and to become obsessed and engrossed in these things upon the Sabbath, such conversation blurs the impression of the spiritual. We have 6 days for all this. 6 days. Can't we quit it for one day? We do God's pleasure on the Sabbath, says Isaiah. We are to esteem this day honorable, a day deserving of special honor. It's set upon a higher plane. We are to esteem it honorable. It's above all other days. God has exalted this day. It's holy of the Lord, says our verse, the holy of the Lord and honorable. On this day we think of his bounty. The mind is free, you see, and it can run back over the weeks, over the days, over the weeks, over the months. Maybe it runs back over a lifetime. This is the object of the Sabbath, a time to reminisce. Think on his bounty. We think of his long-suffering mercy. We rebelled against him. We grieved his Holy Spirit. We quenched his strivings. He never gave up. Good for us to dwell upon this. We might have been in the caverns of darkness tonight. Not here. We think of his unsearchable goodness in every department of our lives. Think of his providence. Way in which he has led us. We contemplated it in small measure this morning. Think of his unfathomable love, the love which was set upon us from everlasting. Think of his matchless grace, which sent his son to a Roman gibbet as we were contemplating at the Lord's table this morning, to die in our stead. We dwell upon God's awful purity, His intrinsic holiness. Where do we stop? Where do we stop? If we really have a knowledge of our God, and we really appreciate the true meaning of the Sabbath, we shall not have time for lesser things. Indeed, the hours of the Sabbath will not be long enough. They'll be so full. If we really appreciate why God has set apart this day, I say the hours will not be long enough for us. We shall live our lives from one Sabbath to the next, eagerly awaiting for the first day of the next week. And as its hours dawn, so we shall feel as if we're going into the very presence of the King. It's another of His days when we gather in His house. Like David, we shall say, "How amiable are thy tabernacles! My soul longeth for them." So we shall enter as those who are entering the banqueting house, unto God our exceeding joy, says David. Is this how we approach the Sabbath? Is this how we approach the house of prayer? Going into our God, our exceeding joy. This is true Sabbath observance. I ask my heart as I challenge yours this evening, how much do we know of it? How much? Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, says our verse in chapter 58 and verse 14. If you fully appreciate these things, if this is your approach to it, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. Yes, there is delight indeed in such an exercise. Do we not all derive great pleasure, great joy from this day, beloved? Great refreshment of soul, great encouragement of heart, as in filial love we keep the fourth commandment. Not in the spirit of fear or of bondage, but in the spirit of adoption, crying, "Abba, Father." It's a glorious day. It's God's day. Its hours are full of happiness. Even children will catch the strains, if it be correctly ordered. Oh, not in a cold, formal, Pharisaical fashion, such as our Lord so ruthlessly condemned. But the Lord's day, rightly observed, is a happy day for all the family. This has always been my experience, for which I thank God. A happy day for all the family, both in the home and in the church. Yes, for all the family. Oh, alas, that there has been such a great gulf fixed between young and old in these things. It never was so in past generations, never. and neither is it biblical. The family is to be together, both in the home and in the church, not segregated. This is an innovation of man. It's modern evangelicalism. It doesn't find its place in the Word of God. It never found its place in history until about 150 years ago. And the church hasn't seen its most glorious days since these things were brought in. Not by any stretch of imagination. I am convinced in my own mind that the family pew is right and proper, and nothing can improve upon it. Nothing. Children who are rightly disciplined, why cannot they sit with their parents or with their grandparents in the family pew? It's nonsense which elders in the church have brought in. The whole family should be engaged in the observance of a full-orbed Sabbath. Let us now look for a few moments at one or two matters especially to be commemorated on this day. Indeed, that which lies behind the very design of a Sabbath. What is to be commemorated on this day? Well, first of all, creation. Creation. Again, the church has lost sight of this in large measure. In fact, I can remember the days in some circles when to mention creation was anathema. You didn't mention anything other than the cross and redemption. But where did it come from? It came from man's vain imagination. It didn't come from the Word of God. The Sabbath was instituted to commemorate creation. Creation is designated as a reason for the very appointment of the Sabbath. And when it was incorporated in the moral law at a later stage, God said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth," and so on. Now you remember that day and keep it holy because of that. Therefore, you see, on this day, we celebrate the power and the manifested glory of God as seen around us. In our observance of this day, we separate ourselves from unbelievers, from skeptics, from profane and godless men. We separate ourselves. And we profess ourselves to be, as we assemble, we profess ourselves to be worshipers of the one true living God, the maker of heaven and earth. We're back to the prayer book again. But the prayer book is based upon the Word of God in this. It's one of the reasons why we celebrate the Sabbath. We commemorate the manifested glory of God. We separate ourselves from a godless world and society. We gather in this way, and we worship the one true living God, the maker of heaven and earth. We don't lose sight of that. This is a phrase which you will find continually through the Word of God pertaining to worship. You'll find it again and again and again. In the Psalms, yea, right throughout the Scriptures, when believers were engaged in worship, whether it be corporate or whether it be private, this was one of the main themes which occupied their attention in worship. They drew nearer to the true, to the living God, the maker of heaven and earth. You go through the Scriptures and discover how many times you'll find that. It's the same song which was sung by those hosts of spirit beings, which we saw when we were dealing with creation. You remember those hosts of spirit beings who, seeing the planets being spun into space by the hand of omnipotence, on the fourth day of creation, we read in the book of Job that they shouted for joy. What did they shout about? to see the power of the living God in creation. It drew them out into worship, and they shouted before him in his presence. Come to the New Testament, if you like, and in New Testament language, the Apostle Paul says, we worship the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Similar language. Yes, we commemorate creation. We dare not lose sight of this. It's why the Sabbath was instituted. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Remember that. Ever celebrate his power and his majesty. We commemorate creation. We also commemorate redemption. Also. Not only. Also. This is yet a higher note in our praise on this holy day. The first redemption song was sung at the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15. You know the portion of scripture, it goes like this. In verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. And on to verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which thou hast redeemed. The first song of redemption. And it was sung after they had been led through the Red Sea from bondage into liberty. The first song of redemption. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have the last recorded public proclamation of the Decalogue. It was given in Exodus 20. It was repeated on several occasions, but the last recorded public proclamation of the Decalogue is in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And here it is very significant to note that this redemption out of Egypt is attached to the fourth commandment. The song of redemption is attached to the fourth commandment. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Remember that deliverance, that redemption. God's people of the Old Testament were to have their deliverance out of Egypt always before them on the Sabbath as they observed it. Redemption by blood, the Paschal Lamb, the sprinkled and applied blood, redemption by blood and by power. The outstretched arm of Almighty God put forth on their behalf. And as we enter into the New Testament, we see a greater deliverance. Redemption again by blood. But here, it is the Lamb of God. Here it is deliverance from the power of Satan unto God. And here the day is changed, which we've already seen, to the day when this mighty and this spiritual redemption was accomplished and finalized. the first day of the week, the resurrection Sabbath. Now, no Sabbath must pass, beloved, no Sabbath must pass without a remembrance and a celebration of these glorious truths. The song of redemption must be sung. It's the song of Moses, Old Testament, and of the Lamb, New Testament. It's the same song, and that's the song we shall sing in heaven. It knocks about the Israel church theory. The song of redemption must be sung. The song of Moses, the song of the Lamb. This is why we observe the Lord's Supper every Sabbath. Oh, some have other views about this. We observe the Sabbath, the Supper, every Sabbath. Redemption's mighty work and the Sabbath must never be divorced. Redemption's work must be celebrated every Sabbath, I say. Redemption's work and the Sabbath must never be divorced. It's kept together. In our holy exercises, on the Lord's Day, the New Testament Sabbath, we are wearing the badge, as it were, I say again. We are making public confession of that covenant of grace. Even in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, the Scripture says, we show the Lord's death. You don't divorce these things. We show, we are making public confession, I say, of the covenant of grace. We show the Lord's death, redemption, by blood. So on the Sabbath, creation is to be before us. Redemption is to be before us. Old Testament, New Testament. Is that all? No. Much more. Heaven is anticipated. We anticipate heaven on the Sabbath. The eternal Sabbath. The rest of this hallowed day but signifies the rest which remaineth for the children of God. The laying aside of all earthly things on this day is but a setting forth of that coming day of bliss of which it is stated, the former things are passed away. A Sabbath rightly observed is a foretaste of that eternal state. Here we anticipate the glorious prospect. On this sanctified day, this Lord's Day, this Holy Sabbath, we leave behind the world. We rise into the heavenlies, as it were. This is the very significance of the day. It is the reason for its institution. It's the relinquishing of the material for the spiritual. I say it's the very reason for its institution at the very beginning. Go back to Genesis 2 and verse 2 again. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. He set it aside. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. It was elevated to a higher level, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. The very reason for its institution, to set aside the material, and to rise to higher heights, to relinquish the material and concentrate on the spiritual. To return to the Lord's Supper again for a moment, which we observe each Lord's Day. I have already said, we show his death, we commemorate redemption by observing it. It sets forth that mighty work, but the Bible says, till he come, till he come. Heaven comes into view on this day. So we commemorate creation, we commemorate redemption, we anticipate heaven. We observe this holy day until we realize the final fulfillment. We anticipate, yea, we reach out to the future. Our earthly Sabbaths give us a sweet foretaste of that festal joy, the Lamb's great bridal feast of bliss and love. Now let me remind you this evening of the descriptions given to us in the Word of God concerning the coming glory. That innumerable company, which no man can number, the praises as the sound of many waters, the unceasing employ of that eternal and exalted sphere. Is that just carnal repose? Is it? Is that a state of self-indulgence where we just do the thing which entirely pleases us? Is that just a mere cessation from earthly labor? No, no. Heaven is the eternal presence of our God, the eternal enjoyment of our God, the eternal praises of our God and the Redeemer. You see, Holy Scripture swings back the everlasting doors and allows us to glimpse in, and we see that worshiping throng. They are all blood washed, every one of them. We hear their hymns, and it's the song of Moses and the Lamb. Goes back to the beginning, goes even back to creation. They commemorate the same thing, and of the Lamb. With one heart and one voice, they extol the Lamb that was slain. They ascribe blessing, wisdom, majesty, power, glory unto the risen and glorified Savior. They are surrounded with all the beauties of holiness. The air, it's supernal. The light, it's without shade. That is the day of days. The day of days. Why? Because it will never end. It will never end. For the Scripture says there is no night there. So there's no night shades ever to fall. The day goes on. It's an eternal Sabbath. There's no night there. No night to terminate it. Evening shades will never fall to usher in the darkness, which would bring in another week. No, this is an eternal Sabbath. It is the land of fadeless day, wherein the redeemed, in untiring employ, will pour out their ceaseless adoration and their perpetual activity in the service of the eternal, the living God, maker of heaven and earth, redeemer of his people. Can we not see the connection between our Sabbath duties on earth with the wondrous consummation of that day? This day, beloved, if rightly observed, is a foretaste of the glory which is to follow. And this day is preparing us and fitting us for that Sabbath which will never end when life's short week is over. Our earthly Sabbath is the day of God. It is the day of Christ. It is the day of the Holy Spirit. In essence, this day is precisely the same as the heavenly Sabbath, in that it has precisely the same objects, the same joys, the same praises. Now, he that would gain the heavenly Sabbath must honor the earthly. And I am more convinced than ever on this. I do not believe, and increasingly am I becoming convinced, in there is no such thing as an easy salvation. This goes with it. He that would gain the heavenly must observe and honor the earthly. Then let us ever rise to these sacred heights. These sacred heights for which this hallowed day was created. And here below, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the atmosphere and in the anticipation of heaven. This holy Sabbath was made for us, beloved. It was made for man, for our due preparation. And therefore, because it was made for man, it will not cease until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What did Isaac Watts say? We sung it just now. Then shall I see and hear and know all I desired and wished below, and every power find sweet employ in that eternal world of joy. So may God bless to us his word this evening for the glory of his name. Amen. Shall we close by singing hymn number 510? 510. Lo, round the throne a glorious band, the saints in countless myriads stand, of every tongue redeemed to God, arrayed in garments, washed in blood. 510. Tongue redeemed to God, arrayed in Seal it upon our hearts, we beseech of thee, that we might live in the good of these glorious truths, that they might be indelibly impressed upon us. Bless us as we separate. Watch over us, we pray. We pray for the needs of each family circle again. Undertake in all the detail of our families as we commit one another to thee and to the word of thy grace. And now in closing, we ascribe blessing and honor, glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen.